The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter Number 21, Text Number 41, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 30th, 2010, in Melbourne, Australia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 21, Explanation of the Vedic Path, text number 41. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gayatri Ushne Ganushtupcha.
Gayatri Ushne Ganushtupcha.
Briyati Pankterevacha. Tishtub Jagat Yati Chando. Yat yashyati jagad verat. Gayatri ushne ganushtupcha. Brihati pankterevacha. Trishtub jagat yatichchando. Yat yashyati jagad verat. The Gayatri Mantra has 24 syllables, the Ushnik 28, the Anushtup 32, and so on, each meter having four more syllables than the previous one. Vedic sound is called Briyati, or most expansive, and thus it is not possible for ordinary living entities to understand all the technical details in this matter. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So can an ordinary person understand the Vedas? No. Not possible. Bhaktosi me sakachiti rahasyam hetudutamam. Krishna explains to Arjuna, because you are my devotee and my friend, therefore I am revealing to you. In other words, there is exoteric knowledge and there is esoteric knowledge. This bhakti science, it is esoteric. One may have some theoretical understanding based on mental speculation, but that will often be incorrect. Because you can't really know the Vedas until you realize the Vedas by surrender to Krishna. Vedaishta charvayoham eva vejo vedanta krid veda vid eva chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. So everything is coming from Krishna. Every single syllable of Vedic wisdom is coming from Krishna. So what are they doing? They are using Vedas to deny Krishna's supremacy. Is that knowing the Vedas? No, of course not. They do not know the Vedas. Any Vedic understanding which does not come to the point of Krishna is imperfect, it's deluded, it's incomplete, etc. And one who has Vedic, one who has love for Krishna, he is the perfect scholar of Vedic wisdom. We have many times explained, there was one Brahman in the Ranganath temple. This Brahman, he was illiterate. But his spiritual master told him, every day you must read 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So what is he to do? Isn't that our duty when our spiritual master gives us an order? Aren't we duty bound to execute his order? So he was taking that order very seriously. Guru Maharaj has ordered me, I must read 18 chapters daily. But because he was illiterate and he was sitting there trying to read the Gita, he became laughingstock. Everyone's cutting jokes about that illiterate Brahman, you see, trying to read the Bhagavad Gita. Ha ha ha. Of course, that's not very nice. We're not supposed to be offensive towards devotees. You know, we have somebody's handicap. You should respect them. They're trying their best. Not that we laugh at them because they're handicapped. That's not very proper etiquette. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya, you know, he was touring southern India. And you know, on that tour, he came to Raghunath Temple. So when he came, he heard some of this chatter going around about the illiterate Brahmin. So he thought, let me check out this illiterate Brahmin. So Lord Chaitanya approached him. Of course, you can imagine what it would be like to have Lord Chaitanya approaching you. We can't even imagine, actually. We can try to imagine how wonderful it would be. But it's so effulgent, so beautiful, so serene, so sweet, so oozing with unlimited oceans of nectar at every second, you see. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya approached him. He immediately, just as soon as he saw Lord Chaitanya, he could immediately understand, this person has not come to criticize me. Everyone else is making fun. Oh, illiterate Brahman, ha, 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 ha. But when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he understood, this person has not come to criticize me. So Lord Chaitanya said, Brahman, I have heard you're illiterate, but I see you're reading Bhagavad Gita. How is that, Brahman? Huh? Every day I hear you're reading. How is it you're illiterate and you're reading the Bhagavad Gita? Please explain to me. So the Brahmin said, yes, it is true, I'm illiterate, but what can I do? My spiritual master has ordered me that every day I must read 18 chapters. So I'm simply sitting here holding the book, trying to read Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya said, but Brahmana, I see you're not only trying to read the Bhagavad Gita, I see you're crying also, Brahmana. How is it you are crying? He said, yes, when I hold this Bhagavad Gita here in my mind's eye, I'm seeing how Krishna is driving that chariot for Arjuna. I'm thinking, oh, Krishna is so kind. He's acting as the charioteer of his devotee. And when I think of Krishna's unlimited mercy upon Arjuna, I just cry. What can I do? I cry. And Lord Chaitanya, he embraced him. He said, Brahman, you are the real scholar of Bhagavad Gita. So even if one is not super expert, you see, in the meters of Gayatri, the 24 syllables of Gayatri, the 28 syllables of Ushnik, the 32 syllables of Anushtup, and the syllables of Brihati, Pankti, Trishtup, Jagati, Atishchanda, as well as Ashtyasti, Achi Jagat, and Ativerat. Even if you're not expert in how many syllables there are in the Ati Virat meter, you see, or the Ati Jagati meter, does anyone know? We could calculate by adding fours, you see, and so on in the purport. But you could add it up. Well, Anushtub would be 32, and Briyati would be 36, and Pankti would be 40, and Tushtub would be 44, Jagati would be 48. Atitschanda would be 52. Atyasti would be 56. Ati Jagati would be 60. And Ati Virat would be 64. Interesting number, just like 64 rounds. 64 number, you see. The Ati Virat would be 64 syllable meter, you see. So, even if we are not expert in all these different meters, if somehow we can follow the footsteps of that illiterate Brahman, you see, and appreciate Krishna, how merciful he is, you see. If we can simply appreciate how merciful is Krishna, then Lord Chaitanya will do what? He will embrace us. Yes, you are a real scholar. You see, you are a real scholar of Bhagavad Gita, my dear devotee. So if we can simply appreciate the loving mercy of Krishna, then we become perfectly learned in Vedic wisdom. And what will be the result? Krishna will embrace. Either as Lord Chaitanya or as Krishna, he will embrace. Simply we have to have that perfect understanding. As Chaitanya has taught us, he says, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me, or even if he roughs me up in his embrace. He is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. If we can learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to have that mood, you see, then we become perfectly learned. It's amazing, actually, if you simply have faith in Krishna, then you can deliver eloquent speeches. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum lam yute gadam. Even if you have no speaking ability whatsoever, if by the mercy of Guru and you see, the mercy of the spiritual master, you can deliver eloquent speeches. In South Africa, they asked me to do a seminar, 8 hours of pure devotionals, talking about pure devotional service. Say, okay, here's the microphone now. We want you to talk for 8 hours about pure devotional service. And we broke it up into 4 sessions of 2 hours each. But still, I was thinking, how in the world? I hadn't made any outline or any notes. I just sat down and started talking, basically. How could I possibly go? But I realized, 8 hours is nothing, really. Shukadev spoke to Parikshit for how many hours? 168 hours. Bhagavatam class. They told me it ends at 8:30, but, you know, talking a half an hour, it seems pretty easy. But Just imagine 168-hour Bhagavatam class. That's the original Bhagavatam class. 168 hours. And I guarantee you, nobody nodded out. In our classes, even after 10 minutes, we see devotees. 10 minutes. Can't handle this. 168-hour Bhagavatam class. But you know something? This Krishna is so wonderful, and this science of connecting with Krishna is so wonderful, 168 hours is nothing. There is so much juice, there is so much nectar, there's so many unlimited varieties of flavors and rasas in this holy name and in this Bhagavad Gita, you see. We can go on for 168 millions of years, you see. That's how much is available. You see, and it doesn't require to become a master of Sanskrit. Of course, it's good to learn some Sanskrit. And the Gurukula, Prabhupada arranged the children should all be taught Sanskrit. It's very good to learn some Sanskrit. But the essence of Krishna consciousness, that is the real thing, you see. If we can understand who I am, you see. Like understand where I've come from, what is my ultimate destination, how can I achieve that destination, if these things are understood, then all our problems are finished. Now we are struggling like anything. How to get money, how to get prestige, how to get power, how to arrange this, how to arrange that. How to keep the electricity working. I'm having that problem in my room. The electricity is now dead again, cut off again. But actually these problems are not very significant. There's only one problem that has any real significance ultimately, and that is how to end the repetition of birth and death. That's the only problem that really has ultimate significance. Because you can solve every other problem. You can become so successful in this material world that you can go all the way to becoming Brahmaji. Be the CEO of the entire universe, is it? You can be CEO of this is the Chaturmukhi Brahma universe, you see. We have a tiny Brahmaji here. He only has four heads. You know that pastime. There's Brahmajis with 40 heads, 400 heads, 4,000 heads, 4 million heads, 4 billion heads. We have a very teeny weeny little universe, you see. It looks very big when you look in the sky at night, but it's a teeny weeny little universe. Our Brahmaji is he's the junior Brahmaji of all the Brahmajis. But he is a great personality because he has given us this Brahma Samhita. So nice. Premanjana chodita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hidayesha vilokayanti yang shama shunya ramachyagunas vavrupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. And he has shown us by making a fool out of himself in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. He taught us a very good lesson. Sometimes the great personalities teach us by doing the wrong thing. In this case, Brahmaji taught us by doing the wrong thing. By not believing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead could be a little kid, a little 6-7-year-old kid playing tooting on a flute and wearing a peacock feather in his hair. So anyway, if we can understand from the great acharyas that Krishna is indeed none other than the supreme source of all existence, that person from who is the fountainhead, the ultimate absolute fountainhead of all energies, and that we are his eternal emanated parts and parcels, and that our true position, our proper position, is to engage in eternal loving reciprocation with him according to any one of five different primary rasas. In the beginning stage, we simply understand that we're Krishna's servants, and we engage in sadhana bhakti according to the principles given by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We don't try to jump to our rasa, but we just try to be the sold-out servant of Krishna and Guru. And in this way, in due course of time, as we become purified, as that lust goes away, that anger and that greed and that madness and that illusion and that envy, as these things gradually go away, you see, then we actually realize who we are. We have awakening to understand who I am, what is my eternal identity, what is my swarup in the spiritual sky. But don't try to jump ahead like that brahmachari who went to Radhakund, and some Babaji said, "You're a peacock in Krishna's pastimes." So they saw him in the long building there in Mayapur going, "Ooh, ooh, 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 Prabhu, what are you doing?" "I'm practicing my rasa." Don't try to jump ahead. "Well, I want to be a gopi, so I'm just going to read Krishna's Vrindavan Leela with the gopis. I wouldn't dare read Dwarka Leela. I mean, that would be contamination." Don't think like that. "I wouldn't dare read about Krishna killing a demon. I mean, that's rasa bus." No, don't think like that, you see. Simply be the sold out dasa, 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 nadasa, the servant of the servant of the servant. And that's how you become qualified to become reinstated in your eternal identity in Krishna's pastimes, whatever it may be. Somebody wrote me this, and "I'm just really praying that I can develop gopi bhav, you know, gopi bhav. I want to have the love of gopis." I said, "No, don't do that. You just pray to be the pure devotee of Krishna, you see, and let him decide. What if somebody is praying to be a gopi and then it turns out they're actually a cowherd boy, but they're saying, 'No, I have to be,' and then there's put some condition, you see, on their surrender." So we should just be willing to accept whatever. Of course, actually, it's stated by Prabhupada, one can change one's rasa. So actually, you can be whatever you want in the spiritual world. There's full freedom. But now is not the time to think, "I'd like to be this or that." No. Now is not the time. Simply let me be the, you know, the sold out servant, a completely surrendered servant of my spiritual master. We have to understand the mood of a disciple. That's a very, very important thing. The classic training for the mood of a disciple is brahmachari training. In the Vedic culture, the brahmachari, he would go out collecting alms every day, and he would come back, having collected alms, he would turn them into his Guru Maharaj, and then would he say, "Okay, now I'm going to go take prasadam." No. Unless his spiritual master called him to take prasadam, he would not take prasadam. You see? He was completely detached from his own sense enjoyment. He was totally dedicated to serving his spiritual master. This is the move. This is the move. Not that my sense enjoyment is there. That's one of my things. And then my spiritual master's service, my Indriya Seva is there, my Guru Seva is there. They're on the equal platform. No. My indriyas are actually simply meant to serve my spiritual master. That's the proper understanding. My indriyas, my senses are meant to serve my spiritual master. They're not meant for my enjoyment. My enjoyment is to please my spiritual master. This is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada told us, not that, "Well, I moved into the temple and I'm unhappy, therefore I leave the temple." No. Surrender, that is not surrender, that is business. Surrender means that everything is for Krishna's pleasure. If in pleasing Krishna I have to suffer, that's all right. I didn't join this movement for my enjoyment, you see. I joined this movement to please Krishna. You may say, "But then why did Prabhupada say to chant and be happy?" If we're supposed to please Krishna and not please ourselves, then why did Prabhupada say chant and be happy? The answer is that actually this is the way to really be happy. As long as I'm thinking of my own happiness, I will sometimes get it a little bit and sometimes I won't. But as soon as I stop thinking of my own happiness and only think of pleasing my spiritual master, only think of pleasing Krishna, then what do I get? An ocean of unlimited happiness, you see. If I give up putting myself as the center of enjoyment and I simply think of pleasing Guru and Krishna, then because my happiness is based on pleasing them now and know of nothing else, if I'm totally dedicated to pleasing them, then I enjoy equally with Krishna. The pure devotee enjoys on an equal level with Krishna. Why equal? He enjoys more than Krishna. This is why Lord Chaitanya wanted, this is why Krishna wanted to be a devotee. This is why Lord Krishna took the form of Lord Chaitanya, so he could increase his enjoyment. So, Krishna became a Hare Krishna. He saw how blissed out the Hare Krishnas were. And he said, I'm going to be a Hare Krishna. He's getting more nectar than I am. Actually, it's a thing. He saw the Radharani, who's the topmost Hare Krishna. Radharani is getting more nectar than he is. So he says, I will also do. I will take that move. You see. So anyway, we have a few minutes left for questions. My hearing is not so good today, so maybe I'll try, but somebody may have to come up and whisper in my ear. Any questions?
Could you tell us something about Gayatri Mantra, importance of Gayatri Mantra in spiritual life for us?
Well, the Gayatri Mantra is, that comes, it's the second initiation. Actually, it's not as important as the Hare Krishna Mantra. According to the Kali Santarana Upanishad, there is no mantra more powerful, more effective for awakening one to self-realization in this age of Kali than Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So then why did Prabhupada give us Gayatri Mantra? Just to make a show of being Brahmins or what? No. Gayatri Mantra is an assistant to the Hare Krishna Mantra. It's a servant of the Hare Krishna Mantra, actually. By chanting Gayatri, when one qualifies oneself by being first initiated and showing that one is fixed properly in one sadhana, especially chanting 16 rounds regularly, that's what Prabhupada asked me when I went to Prabhupada to get my Gayatri Mantra. He had one question. He said, so you were chanting 16 rounds regularly? So the qualification, so Gayatri is there to actually help you to become more purified, to chant Hare Krishna better. And that's the purpose of Gayatri Mantra. And it's also purifying you for doing deity worship as well. So it's not as, it's an assistant of Hare Krishna Mantra, Gayatri Mantra.
And what do you understand by Vedic meters? The Vedic meters are Gayatri.
What about the meters?
Gayatri.
Yeah, Gayatri is one.
What are Vedic meters?
What is Vedic meters?
What are they?
Yeah. What does the meter mean?
Meter means the way, the rhythm. A way, you know, it's a rhythm. See, we are not so qualified in this age, but previously you had to do everything perfect, the exact rhythm, you see. By chanting with the exact, every syllable correct and the rhythm absolutely perfect, the Vedic mantras had great power, you see. The Brahmins could do anything. Just like Maharaj Janmanjaya, you see. He was so angry, his father had been killed by the snake. He told the Brahmins, now you do a yagya and kill all the snakes in the universe. He was so angry. And the Brahmas did them. They were so perfect in pronouncing the mantras, perfect meter for the mantra, that all the snakes in the whole universe were coming and falling in the sacrificial fire. The whole snake race was going to be completely annihilated. But the sages said, no, no, don't. It's only one snake. Why are you doing this to all the snakes? So the meter is very important. For the Vedic Brahmanas, the meter is very, very important. It has to be perfect meter, you see. But in this age, we are not qualified in pronouncing the syllables and in making the meter perfect. We are not qualified. Therefore, somehow, just chant Hare Krishna mantra. And by the mercy of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, one will be saved. Anything else?
So in Kali Yuga, we are not able to chant the meter properly and perform the mantras perfectly. So is that the reason we are not able, we are not as powerful as the Brahmins?
Actually, we can be more powerful than those Brahmins. They were engaged in different material, manipulating the material energy, you see, in different ways. But if one becomes a pure devotee, he becomes more powerful than those Brahmins. He can actually completely deliver the whole universe. They didn't have the power to deliver the whole universe, but a pure devotee can deliver the whole universe. So Prabhupada wants us to become pure devotees. Did you know that? Prabhupada wants us all to become pure devotees. Prabhupada ordered me, in one letter he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Was I some big important? No, I was just an ordinary pot washer in the kitchen. Prabhupada told me, now you qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So that means if you become completely pure, you can find Krishna even in the pot. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that one day while engaged in ordinary household activities, I saw my house transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. So actually, even if you're just scrubbing the pots in the kitchen, if you do it with pure love, Krishna will become visible to you. That's a very advanced stage, but Prabhupada has ordered me to come to that stage. And that order is for all of us. Prabhupada wants us all to become pure devotees. So if we become pure devotees, we can deliver the whole universe. We can become more powerful than those Brahmins. So pure bhakti is more important than meter. Any other questions? Yes.
How to become pure devotee?
Shushu shrosha dadana shio vasudeva gatarushi shyam mahat sevaya vipra punya sevana kirtanat. By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So what does pure bhakti mean? It means you have no interest except to hear Krishna Katha. That's pure bhakti. Your mind has one interest and one interest only, Krishna Katha. It's not interested in any other thing. Only Krishna, 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 24/7. That's pure bhakti. There's no other interest. You're completely, totally satisfied simply by being absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. So how do you get that? By serving pure devotees. By serving those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, you inherit their qualities. So Prabhupada, that's how this movement began, you see. We had the opportunity to serve Prabhupada. He engaged all of us in serving him by helping him in his mission. Distributing books, worshipping deities, distributing prasadam, so many activities of assisting Prabhupada in his mission by serving that greatest of all pure devotees, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. By serving this greatest of all devotees, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, we become pure devotees, you see. So we serve our spiritual master, we serve the Vaishnavas, we serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. In this way, by becoming totally absorbed in this service, then all attraction to mundane, nonsense, garbage, rubbish, you see, will go away. Parang drishvani vartate. We will develop higher taste. Now we're attracted to rubbish. It's like crows, you know, going in the garbage heap, hopping around, little garbage here, garbage, 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 garbage. But the swan, he is not interested in such garbage. He wants to go to a beautiful lake with lotus flowers, you see, swimming around that lake, you see. Now we are attracted, our rascal, lusty, angry, greedy, mad, illusion, envious minds are attracted to garbage. Where is sex? Where is prestige? Where is money? Sweeter than honey, you see. We are polluted. But if we can serve Srila Prabhupada, if we can serve our spiritual masters, if we can serve the Vaishnavas in this way, get in that service mood, totally in the service mood. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? Just like Prabhupada's sister, her name was Baba Srini. We did not call her like that. That's familiar. We called her Aunt Pishima. We called her Aunt Pishima. She was our auntie, our transcendental auntie, Prabhupada's sister. Her move is always service. How can I serve the devotees? She always wanted to cook prasad. What will you eat? What will you eat? What will you eat? She was always cooking for the devotees, you see. And she was so humble, if she would sit in one place, when she got out, she would wash it with water, that I have contaminated the floor by sitting on it. She was so humble, devotee, Pishima, you see. So in this way, if we can learn from great personalities like Pishima and many, many, all the great devotees, you see, how to be in that mood of serving, 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 serving. Dropping aside everything to serve the spiritual master, to serve the Vaishnavas, to serve Prabhupada's mission. In this way, with that service mood, you see, then we'll develop such a taste that when we utter these two syllables, Krishna, we will experience unlimited oceans of nectar in those two syllables, Krishna. You see, this is pure devotion. When you can taste unlimited oceans of nectar just by uttering Krishna, then you can know that Krishna is blessing me with pure devotion. You see, right now it's a struggle. Oh, I got to get my rounds done. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. All right, finished. You see, it's a struggle right now. We're not tasting the nectar. You see, but if we faithfully follow this process, faithfully, then gradually, the fog will clear away and that beautiful Krishna sun will become fully arisen within the heart and all the anarthas will be driven away, just like the darkness is driven away by the rays of the sun, and pure Krishna bhakti will fully become manifested within our hearts. So it's a very nice question. Any other questions? Yes? The quality is the most important thing. Actually, a round can be chanted in 5 minutes. Prabhupada told like that. He said, when there's a little practice, a round can be... He told the devotees in the 26th Second Avenue. It's recorded in Hayagriva Prabhu's book, The Hare Krishna Explosion. Prabhupada said that in 5 minutes one can complete. And when one is a little practiced, you see. So... some people say, well, I don't want to speed it up because then I'll be, my attention, I won't be properly chanting. But here's an interesting example. Just, if you're driving at 5 miles an hour down the road, you see, then you can be looking here, looking there, 5 miles an hour, you know, just crawling along the highway, you know, looking here, looking there. If you're going 100 miles an hour, you're going to be going like that? No, 100 miles, you're going like this. You've seen those race car drivers, when they're in their car, they're like, I mean, they're just really zeroed in, you know. So it doesn't hurt to speed up, you know, as long as the speeding up can actually help you to be more concentrated, to intensify your concentration. As long as every syllable is pronounced, is uttered, and heard. Speeding up is not bad. In fact, speeding up can actually help you to become more intense in your focus. Going too slow can make you splayed out. So it's not necessary to spend three hours. Prabhupada always said 2 hours. That's 7.5 minutes per round. And he also said 1.5 hours and 2 hours. So that's like 5 minutes a round. So it's not that you have to chant slow to chant properly. If you need to do that, it's okay. But it's not that you have to chant. If I speed it up, then I'm going to be offending the holy name. It's not true. Not true. The quality is the most important thing. But you may find that if you speed up your chanting, the quality actually increases. You may find that. You can try. Water seeks its own level. Everyone has to see what works best for them. You have to see what works best for you. If you need 3 hours, that's okay. But you may find that if you speed it up, you actually have better rounds. Can try it and see. Make the experiment. Yeah.
Is it okay if we chant a little loudly?
If we what?
If we chant a little loudly.
I didn't.
Audible and loud.
As long as it's hearable. It doesn't have to be loud to wake up your neighbors. it has to be loud enough to wake you up. It can be very soft. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It can be soft. But it has to be audible. You think, well, I'm just going to do it silently. Don't kid yourself. You don't have that much control over your mind to silently chant Hare Krishna and be totally absorbed in the mantra. Nobody does in this age. That's why it says, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. It doesn't say just meditate on the holy names. It's chant the holy names. So chanting means it's audible, at least by you. It's vibrated. Prabhupada said every syllable must be distinctly chanted and heard. You see. Any other questions? Yes.
What is religion and religious faith? Religion. What is religion and religious faith?
What is religion and what is religious faith?
Yes. Religious faith and religion. Okay, very good question. Religion, actually, the word religion comes from Latin, which means, the Latin word religio, which means to reconnect. So the true meaning of religion is the scientific system of reconnecting yourself with the source of your existence. That's the actual meaning of religion. It's not religious faith means sectarianism. When they politicize religion, then you have religious faiths. You see, Hindu, Christian, Jain, Sikh, Muslim. You see. These are actually, I was just reading yesterday or the day before in the Bhagavatam, this religion within the modes of nature, that's religious faith. Religion beyond the modes of nature, that's religion, pure religion, you see. As soon as you talk about religious faith, that means that pure religion has been now polluted by the modes of nature. That's religious faith. There is some benefit, of course. They are making some progress, so Prabhupada said we shouldn't criticize them for their religious practice. Prabhupada appreciated the Muslim prayers when he was visiting Tehran, for example. So, religious faith means religion within the modes of nature. Religion means when it's completely beyond the modes. Pure religion, you see. Shuddha Dharma. You had a question? Somebody else had?
Maharaj, other religions, they're not focus on Krishna, can they go back to Godhead?
If
other religion, they don't focus on Krishna.
Oh, focus was the word, okay. Yes, they can. It's not the, because the spiritual world has many planets besides Krishna Loka. And if one becomes a completely pure in love of God, but he has no Krishna consciousness, then he can go to a Vaikuntha planet and serve the Lord there in any one of his other forms. Not that you have to be Krishna conscious. As long as you're a pure lover of God, the Supreme Person, whether you call him Krishna or Ram or even Allah. Of course, it's not that you can, you know, get in an airplane and fly into the World Trade Center going Allah Akbar and expect to go back to Godhead. That's Nama Parad, is committing sin on the strength of chanting. You have to be saintly. To become qualified, you see, one has to. It's not that Nama Parad will deliver me back to Godhead. If I want to become qualified to go back to Godhead, I have to develop saintly qualities. I have to become a lover of God, not an abuser of God's name for my own sense gratification or my own political purpose. But anyone who actually utters the name of God and is sincerely trying to develop a loving relationship with that Supreme Person, even if they don't know the name of Krishna, they will become qualified to go back to God. Yeah. Anything else? Everyone satisfied now? All right.
What should be our mood when we're chanting?
The mood of chanting is one of complete submission to the will of Krishna. My dear Lord, now I am your servant. Do whatever you want to with me. I have foolishly tried to imitate you now for thousands and millions of lifetimes, and where did it get me? Another damn rotting body. So now I'm begging you, please simply engage me in your service. I want nothing else now except your service, my Lord. My dear mother Radharani, Hare, I'm addressing Radharani when I say Hare. My dear mother and my dear father, Radha and Krishna, please save me from this rascal mentality of trying to be the Lord. Please bless me, I can just be your servant. That's all, nothing else for all of eternity except to serve you with my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. This should be the mood while chanting Hare Krishna. If you chant Hare Krishna in this mood, Krishna will become your property. If you become completely sold out to Krishna, he will sell himself out to you, like he did to Yashoda. You will become the Lord of God. Can you imagine? People are struggling now to get money, to get power, to get fame, to prestige. But just imagine if that person who has unlimited power, unlimited money, unlimited fame, unlimited prestige becomes your personal property. What is your position then? You're really sitting pretty then. Yeah. So why struggle to become a Brahmaji or become a CEO or whatever it may be, a rock star, a, you know, soccer star in this material world, to make a big splash at this World Cup or whatever it may be? Why struggle like them? Why struggle for something which is simply punakpanascharvata charvananam? You see? We've already done all those things. We've already been Brahma. We've already been Indra. We've already been rock star, this star, that star. We've been everything. Indra, Gopa. We ran the whole gamut of the 8,400,000 species again and again and again and again and again. Why should we struggle again and again and again to do that? Does it make any sense? It's absolutely asinine. Absolutely asinine. Which is now we should simply utilize this life to become pure devotee. That's it, finished. That's the mood of chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah?
How does chanting the holy name please the heart? What is making it?
By the inconceivable scrubbing power of the holy name. It's the ultimate scrubbing pad.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else? Yeah.
What is the difference between Adi Purush and Purush?
What is the difference between Adi Purusha and Purusha?
Adi Purusha. Purusha means person. And Adi Purusha means the original person. So you are Purusha, you are person. But Krishna, he is Adi Purusha. He's the original person. That's the difference. You are Purusha or person, but Krishna, Adi means original. So Adi Purusha, that is the original person. Just like we sing, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, who's the original person. You see, we are all persons here. I'm person, you're person, we are all Purusha. You see, but there is one Purusha who is the original Purusha, and that is Krishna. That is the difference. And now you should surrender yourself to that original person, that Adi Purusha. Is that all right? Okay, anything else? Everyone's completely blissed out now, ready to go out and save the world? Okay, we'll stop here. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.